On a warm spring evening outside the village of Iwahara stood a beautiful young woman, fair of face with long hair and wearing elegant robes that announced her wealthy status to anyone who saw her. She had been standing in this same spot for quite some time without any passersby having the confidence to approach her, when along came a handsome young man on horseback. He greeted the woman and told her that if she was waiting for a ride to the city, he could help her out. He was headed in that direction anyway and had plenty of room on his horse. He offered her his hand and the woman stood there silent and unmoving except for the small smile that formed on her face. Without saying a word, she took the young man's hand and he pulled her up onto his steed. The journey to the city took the better part of an hour, and to the gentleman's disappointment, his passenger stayed quiet the entire time. He assumed that she could just be shy or maybe nervous about this random stranger she was riding alone through the country with, but she didn't give off a nervous vibe. She actually seemed pretty relaxed and just sat there silently giving the occasional giggle or nod of acknowledgement until they approached the city walls. As the smells and sounds of the city wafted through the air, the young man could feel his heart racing with excitement at the adventures that were awaiting him. But excitement turned to confusion when his passenger got suddenly rigid and squeezed him tightly, like she was nervous about something. At that moment, the barks of the city's street dogs echoed over the walls, and the woman immediately jumped off the horse. The man was about to ask her what was wrong, but she disappeared before his eyes, and standing in her place was a fox. The man almost reflexively jumped off his horse to pursue the fox, but then he remembered the legends he'd heard while growing up. As the fox disappeared into the wilderness, he considered himself lucky that he had only been conned out of a free ride and turned back to the city, ready for the next adventure. What is going on, everybody? My name is John Solo, and I break down the messed up origins of your favorite stories and characters from pop culture. Tricksters in folklore and myth come in many shapes and sizes. They can be animals like in Aesop's fables or Uncle Remus's tales, mortal men like Sinbad the Sailor, or even gods like Hermes from Greek mythology. But the tricksters found in Japanese legends are a breed entirely their own. We've already discussed tanukis, the tricksy Japanese raccoon dogs who use their brains, brawn, and balls to deceive their enemies, but there's a supernatural shape-shifting fox known as a kitsune that might be even more interesting. If you've played Mario, Pokemon, or even Animal Crossing, then you've probably encountered a kitsune without even realizing it. Luigi wears a kitsune suit in place of his brother Mario's tanuki suit. Crazy Red, the black market salesman, is clearly a kitsune in both looks and his behavior. And then there's Ninetales, the Pokemon that incorporates a shocking amount of kitsune folklore into its design and abilities. Now, just to be very clear, kitsunes are not exclusively found in folklore. Kitsune is the Japanese word for fox, so kitsunes actually exist in the real world, and their encounters with the Japanese people, which occurred regularly before the days of big cities and industrialization, when the majority of Japan's citizens were farmers, have led to a widespread belief that they really do possess magical powers, and to the creation of countless folktales about them. And because the fox's interactions with farmers have always been a mix of both positive and negative, the stories about these creatures portray them as both helpful companions and annoying, obnoxious tricksters. Before we get too deep into kitsune lore, though, I want to say thank you to our sponsor, Aura. Kitsunes are some of the most infamous tricksters in all of Japanese folklore, but I would much rather deal with one of them than a scam artist trying to steal my identity and credit card information. And I'm sure you feel the same way. We should all be genuinely concerned over how easy it is to find our personal information online. Literally anyone in the world can use a simple Google search to find your name, address, email addresses, and even the names of your family members, and then use that info however they want. Lucky for us, an easy solution exists. Aura. Aura can identify these data brokers exposing your private info and submit opt-out requests on your behalf. Brokers are legally required to remove that info when you ask them, but they make it nearly impossible for regular folks like you and I, so Aura will handle it for you. Aura also guards you and your family from online threats you can't see, like they'll protect your credit card info and run scans for exposed passwords. The best part is it's easy to set up, so you don't have to worry about downloading several different apps to get get things like parental controls, antivirus, VPNs, password management, identity theft insurance, and more. With Aura, you could get everything at one affordable price. So you can either let people continue to exploit and profit off your private information, or you can go to aura.com/JohnSolo to start your 2-week free trial. That link is in the description below so you can get started right away. Part 1. Sacred Scam Artists. Now, as much as I want to dive into the hilarious and horrifying Kitsune lore, first we got to establish the proper way to pronounce Kitsune, because I guarantee some people are losing their minds hearing me butcher it. Listen, I want to say it right, but every time I think I find a reliable guide, I end up even more confused. Like, I listen to that French guy who does pronunciation videos, and he says Kitsune, which is simple enough. But then the top-rated comment on that video claims the proper way to say it in Japanese would be Kitsune, because the way Japanese people say the whole word at once instead of breaking up the syllables. So fine, it's Kitsune, right? Wrong, because then there was another comment where this guy says his boss's wife, who is fully Japanese, says it Kitsune. So now I don't know what to think. I decided to pop it into Google Translate, and their AI Japanese voice says it
Kitsune.
So that's how I'm gonna try to say it. But I can already tell you I'm not gonna be consistent with that, and I probably already messed it up. I just wanted to make that clear because sometimes I get comments accusing me of being lazy, like I simply don't want to look up how to say foreign words correctly, when in reality, there isn't always a clear-cut answer out there. And because I don't speak the language, it's hard to know what sources are reliable and which ones aren't. This commenter understands my pain. He's like, so many sources pronounce this one word differently, and I'm just trying to learn a word. It does not have to be this hard. You can just tell that this poor guy's at the end of his rope. But if you're watching this FPS Banshee 3184, just know that you're not alone. Anyway, it's about time we establish what exactly a Kitsune is. You already know it's a fox, but there's a little more to it than that. And out of respect, I'm gonna start with their positive qualities. According to experts, foxes are considered sacred in Japanese culture because they're a natural predator to rats, which could be a dangerous nuisance both in the house and in the fields by stealing food and burrowing into rice paddies. Not only do foxes bring down the rat population through brute force, but their pee actually repels rats too, because when rats smell their pee, they're like, oh shit, there's monsters here and we're probably gonna die, and then they skedaddle. By protecting the home and the harvest, foxes became associated with Inari Okami, the Shinto god of rice, agriculture, prosperity, and fertility, and were therefore considered sacred. This sacred status earned them the esteemed responsibility of being messengers of Inari, carrying both blessings and gifts to the worthy. They were good gifts too, usually little jewels that had a magical component, my favorite being the one that tricks tax assessors into seeing your rice fields as totally barren. Listen, not even Al Capone could beat the IRS, but this cute little fox can, so if you ever encounter one, I would recommend getting on its good side. Well, how can I do that, you might ask? Well, it's actually not that hard. There are shrines to Inari all over Japan. If I'm not mistaken, the majority of Shinto shrines belong to Inari, and you can make a small sacrifice there in the form of a fox figurine, and it's likely that you'll just be adding one to the pile. Another surefire way to get on Inari's good side is to be kind to foxes. I know, who would have thought? This goes back to them being protectors of the home. If you see one on or near your property, don't scare it away. I'm not saying make it a sandwich or anything, but by giving your blessing for it to remain near your property, it's more likely to think of you as a friend and reward you from time to time. This can be some risky biz though, because not all Kitsune want to be your friend. The white and black ones are usually a safe bet, but you've gotta watch out for the orange ones. Because remember, there were some foxes who got rid of all the pests only to become pests themselves. They would steal food, kill livestock, and these qualities led to a unique duality within their folklore. Instead of them all being messengers to the gods, some are deceivers who should be killed the moment they're discovered, which is a lot harder than it sounds. Because whether associated with Inari or not, Kitsunes have magical powers that only get stronger as they age. Their most infamous one is their ability to transform, which they gain at the age of 50. They can turn into basically anyone they want, but they usually choose the form of a beautiful woman. I assume because there's no better way to trick someone into letting their guard down. While in this guise, Kitsune will attempt to play tricks on arrogant samurai, greedy merchants, even a commoner who brags a little too loudly. But they also target those who don't deserve it, like the aforementioned farmers just looking to protect their land from pests, Buddhist monks, or even innocent villagers who just want to buy some beautiful art to donate to their local museum. There's only two ways to tell these foxy ladies apart from the real ones. If you're lucky enough to see their reflection in a lake or a puddle, you can see their true form. The other way is their tails. Apparently, that's the only body part that kitsunes can't disguise. So if a beautiful woman ever asks you for a ride into town in the middle of the night, have her do a little twirl so you can see that she's tail-free. If she is tail-free, you might get me too'd, but if she isn't, you just spared yourself a whole lot of pain and confusion. Because in addition to changing their physical shape, kitsunes can also conjure up elaborate illusions to trick their victims, projecting multiple people, grand temples, and even predatory animals to try and scare them. I wonder if they can also project famous pieces of art, because that would explain where that scumbag Red gets his fakes from. No, I'm not over it, okay? So many bells. Wasted. Kitsunes also each have their own personal fireball they carry around with them called their kitsunebi, which they retain total control over and can use to lead people into dangerous environments, similar to the Will-o'-the-Wisps from Celtic folklore. So when you think about it, Kitsune Luigi should be the most powerful suit in the game, because it should have all the usual Tanuki abilities, but also fireballs. Now the tricks I've mentioned so far are usually reserved for men, but their treatment of women is where it gets really dangerous, because there's more than just illusion and deception going on. They're straight up possession. They can take control of a woman's body and make her do anything they want, from eating food off the floor to cheating on her husband with a naked mole rat. These illusions and deceptions only get more convincing as kitsunes age and grow more tails. The more tails they have, the more powerful they are. But it seems to me like they eventually grow out of their deceitful ways. Don't get me wrong, it takes a long time, like potentially 1,000 years, but at that milestone, the kitsune gains its 9th and final tail, turns all white or gold, and then ascends to the heavens to become a tenko, a celestial fox. And as if that wasn't enough, it's also granted omniscience, the ability to see and understand everything that's going on for 1,000 miles in every direction. There's actually an episode of Pokemon that demonstrates this evolution really well. The Pokemon inspired by the Kitsune, called Ninetales, is able to communicate with humans by conjuring a projection of a young woman. And she explains how, while waiting 100 years for her master to return, and then 100 more, she gained new abilities, just like kitsunes do in folklore. Brock even says at one point that the energy stored in all Ninetales can last up to 1,000 years, the exact lifespan of a kitsune before it transcends. A not-so-fun fact about the Ninetales Pokémon is that it made its debut in episode 38, which only aired once in Japan because it triggered epileptic seizures in more than 700 people. You can find the scene that caused the seizures on YouTube, YouTube Kids actually, so that's an accident waiting to happen, but I would not recommend watching it. It's literally just a flashing blob of blue, red, and purple that takes up 4/5 of the screen, so it's not even interesting to look at. Also, I've never been triggered by flashing lights in my life, but I watched the scene for 3 seconds and felt like my eyes were gonna explode. So if you're prone to that sort of thing, best not to watch it. Anyway, I could talk about epilepsy all day, but we should really get back to kitsunes. You've heard a lot about what they are and what they do, but now you need to hear a few stories about them in action, because they're ridiculous. And the idea that people have been telling stories like these for thousands of years is both hilarious and kind of wholesome. Don't worry, they're plenty messed up too. It's just that after doing this show for 6 years, I have a weird definition of wholesome. Part 2, Kitsune Tales. Get it? The oldest written record of shape-shifting foxes in Japan is found in a book whose title I cannot pronounce for the life of me, the Nihon Ryoiki. I know that's not right, like this isn't just one of those like, I think I'm pretty close, but I'm gonna say it's wrong just to cover my ass. I know I'm wrong. I listen to Google Translate say it. I got no idea what it's saying. Not even gonna try. Nihon Ryoiki. 日本領域 That's impossible. There's no way I can say that. The point is, the book is a collection of myths, legends, folklore, and anecdotes compiled in the early 9th century by a Buddhist monk. The story is called On Taking a Fox as a Wife and Bringing Forth a Child, which basically gives away the entire thing, now that I think about it. Probably shouldn't have said the title. In this story, a man is out looking for a good wife and just so happens to meet a pretty young thing in the middle of a field, which is an unusual spot for pretty young things to hang out, but he disregarded it. The two got to talking. It turned out she was looking for a good husband as well, so they went home together and started a family. Around the same time that their son was born, their dog gave birth to a puppy, and for some reason that puppy did not like the mistress, always barking and biting at her, and it got to the point where the mistress was too afraid to go anywhere near it. She asked her husband to kill the puppy, and he agreed. But when it came time to do the deed, he felt too guilty, so he moved it out to the farm to keep watch over their rice fields. Things were calm for the next few months, but this all changed when the mistress decided to visit the rice fields. The puppy, now bigger and stronger, saw her there and went wild, breaking into a dead sprint in her direction. This startled the mistress so much that when she jumped over the hedge to escape him, she accidentally revealed her true form. That of a fox. When she met her now husband almost a year ago, she was in disguise, waiting to dupe someone just like him. Except he was different than the other men she fooled. He was kind and virtuous, and the kitsune found herself with feelings that she did not expect. But knowing that he would never accept her true self, she committed to the lie for the sake of their relationship, and now she was overcome with guilt. Now you might assume her husband would get angry about this betrayal of his trust, but he told her that, as the mother of his child, he would always love her, and to please return to him so they could sleep together. Feeling guilty about her deception, she obliged him, but only once. She disappeared the next morning, and to honor her, the man gave their son her surname, Kitsune no Ate, and he grew up to become famous for his enormous strength and his ability to run as fast as birds fly. According to the story, this is how the Kitsune got its name, which translates to come and sleep, which is what he told his wife after he learned about her true identity. But that's just the folk etymology. Linguists have a number of theories about where the word actually came from, and I'm not smart enough to break them all down. Now, the reason I shared that last story is because it's the oldest kitsune story ever found, and since this is messed up origins, I feel an obligation to get as close to the origin point as I can. But this next story I'm only sharing because it's awesome. It's got my two favorite things, comedy and violence, and it's also the perfect representation of the shenanigans that kitsunes are always pulling. The story begins at the dinner of a wealthy family. About a dozen people are eating, laughing, having a good time, and the conversation turns to how clever foxes are. The group starts trading stories about times where they, or people they knew, were bewitched by foxes, and one of the guests, a man named Toktaro, gets immediately irritated at this, saying if they really believe that foxes can bewitch people, they're idiots. Then Toktaro makes a bet with them. If he spends the night down on the moors without getting bewitched, then they'll buy him 5 measures of wine and 1,000 copper cash worth of fish. But if he fails, he has to do the same for them. The terms are agreed to, and Toktaro heads right to the moors, and he doesn't have to wait long before a fox runs right by his foot and hides behind a nearby tree. As Toktaro stared at the tree, waiting to see what the fox would do next, he felt a tap on his shoulder and turned around to see his friend's daughter standing there. She asks him where he's going, he tells her a village nearby, and she offers to walk him there. But Toktaro is on high alert and suspects this may be a kitsune in disguise, so instead, he offers to walk her back home. When they arrive at the girl's home, her parents greet her with open arms, and Toktaro with some confusion. The father asks him why he's there with their daughter, and Toktaro pulls him aside to say, "That's not your daughter. Take your wife into the other room, and I'll handle this imposter." For reasons I can't explain, the father and mother blindly trust Toktaro's assessment of the situation, and they go into the next room. Then Toktaro turns to the daughter and gets violent. He grabs the girl by her hand, twists her arm, and forces her face into the hearth, burning her with the flames, and he demands that she reveal her true identity. Naturally, the girl starts screaming for her mom and dad, doing everything she can to break free, but Toktaro just holds tighter and continues making demands. When he realizes that she isn't going to talk, he tells her that he would sooner roast her than let her trick him, and then he pushed her down into the hearth and stood on her back until she went limp. A moment later, her parents returned to the room and were horrified. Their daughter was not only dead, but she was horribly burned. And here was Tokutarō swearing that she was really a fox. Not willing to hear any more of his nonsense, they ordered their servants to restrain him with ropes until the lawmen arrived to execute him. While Tokutarō was waiting for his date with Destiny, see what I did there? Who should walk by but a priest who checks in on the family to see what all the commotion is about? The parents explain the situation, then the priest talks to Tokutarō, who begs for his life and swears that he thought the family had been infiltrated by a kitsune. The priest responds that he will only help if Tokutarō vows to become his disciple and enter the priesthood, and Tokutarō agrees. And you're not going to believe this, but the parents agree to let him go. The priest explained that revenge wasn't going to bring their daughter back and that Tokutarō thought that he really was saving their family, not hurting it. So that, combined with his vow to enter the priesthood, made them soften up a bit. I guess. Respect to them for seeing his side of it, because if that were my daughter, Tokutarō would have been dead before the priest got there. Well, immediately after being free, Tokutarō underwent his initiation. He said his sacred vow, shaved his head completely bald, and then... nothing. Tokutarō was suddenly alone in the middle of the moor, standing exactly where he was before his friend's daughter tapped him on the shoulder. At first he thought the whole thing was a kitsune-induced dream, but then he felt his head. He really had been shaved completely bald. And now he had to meet with his friends. Funnily enough, barely any time had passed since he had left them, such as the power of the kitsune. So to them, he walked away all proud and came back like an hour later with a shaved head. Respect to Tokutarō though, despite the endless mocking he received from his friends, he paid them what he owed them, and then he honored his vow to the priesthood. He also never spoke an ill word about foxes ever again. And neither should you. So make sure you sacrifice those 5-star and follow buttons to Inari in their honor. That way she'll bless you with more deep dives into messed up myths and folklore every Friday morning. And if you've got any thoughts on the kitsune you'd like to share, or you just want to roast me for my mispronunciations, hit us up on social media. Links to those are in the description. I'll see you all again next week when I dive into some more messed up mythology. Until then, my name is John Solo, and remember, John shot first.